I found you a part of myself. Rather, I found you my whole. One of the most beautiful lines ever said by a father to his son. And these were the lines of Imam Ali alayhi salam to his son Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha has certain moments which allow us to understand the wonderful world of fatherhood and parenting. At the end of the day, each and every one of us at one stage or another wants to look through the lens of Imam Ali alayhi salam in his personal life. Sometimes when people describe Imam Ali alayhi salam, they talk of Imam Ali the alim, Imam Ali the theologian, Imam Ali the ma'soom, Imam Ali the infallible, Imam Ali the warrior. But how was Imam Ali's family life? Because we know that Imam Ali alayhi salam had been married at a young age to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. And that Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was of course the love of his life. And with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam has a number of children. As many of us know about Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam and Kulthum alayhi salam. And so when we remember Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the most important aspects is for us to understand how was he as a family man? How was he as a father? We always think of Imam Ali Khandaq and Khaybar. We think of Imam Ali of Dhul-Fiqar or Imam Ali of the great sermons of Nahj al-Balagha explaining God, the universe, the creation. But how about Imam Ali alayhi salam as a father to his children? How was Imam Ali with his children? How much did Imam Ali alayhi salam care for his children? How did Imam Ali alayhi salam view fatherhood? You may become a father one day, you may become a father one day, and it's one of the biggest honors for any human, irrespective of their religion, irrespective of their background, to be a father one day. One of the biggest blessings is for a person to have a child in their life. And yet we all know at the same time that being a father can also bring about a number of trials in one's life. Sometimes one's children or one's wealth can give them the biggest headaches in life. When the Quran talks of al-mal wal-banoon, it says that al-mal wal-banoon, your wealth and your children are a zina from us. They are a form of adornment. But they can also be a source of trial. When the Quran, for example, mentions on many occasions how Allah may test us with our wealth, or Allah may test us with the fitna being our children. I never forget in Nahj al-Balagha, at the end of the Nahj, there is this statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam about Zubair. You've all heard of Talha and Zubair, who fought Imam Ali in the Battle of Jamal. Now, Zubair is Imam Ali's first cousin. And Zubair is known as one of the most famous companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his family. But Zubair, Imam Ali, talks about him in an interesting way regarding being a father and the trial that your children may become for you. If you all go to Nahj al-Balagha, go to about saying 462 of Nahj al-Balagha, you'll see that Imam Ali alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, as Zubair remained a man from our house till his wretched son Abdullah came forth. Many of you will have heard of Abdullah ibn Zubair. When Yazid became Khalifa, his father Muawiyah, just before he died, he told Yazid that when you become Khalifa, you've got to think about four people. Abdurrahman, the son of Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Zubair eventually became such a trial for the father that was Zubair. Zubair, cousin of Imam Ali. Zubair, loyal to Imam Ali after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had died while others had gone to Saqifah. Zubair was ready to lay down his life and fight those who had usurped the rights of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ultimately, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi told Zubair one day that you're going to go against Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Zubair thought, how? I love Imam Ali. But subhanallah, one son can become their biggest test in life. Being a father, according to Nahj al-Balagha, is a blessing but it could also be a major test for you. I'm sure there are fathers at home right now. I feel sorry for a lot of this generation when it comes to upbringing of children. Because the amount of wacko things you hear online at the moment and our children have to watch online is mad. It's mad. When I was growing up in London, say for example, when I was growing up in the 90s, and I'm in my teens in the 90s, it wasn't like it is today. There were only two genders I remember, and that was he and she, and male and female. And there were certain other social constructs that had not evolved in the way they've evolved today. Some of the satanic rituals, which are blatant now on the television, were not there before. And so when a father is bringing up his children, it could become a major trial in the way Zubair had with his son Abdullah. A person today who's a father, as much as it's a blessing, you're thinking, do I homeschool them or do I allow them to be schooled in a public school, private school, Islamic school, faith school? How important is it that we're involved in their secular education? But hold on, how about their religious education? How important is it that we keep an eye on their friend circle? We keep an eye on what they're seeing on the internet? How great a figure Zubair was, and yet his son led to his downfall. Sometimes in life, Allah tests us with our health. Allah tests us with our wealth. Sometimes Allah tests us with our position as being a father. Imam Ali alayhi salam, no doubt, he faces a major test while he is a father. And remember, when we said that Imam Ali, we want to pry into an understanding and discussion of Imam Ali as a father, let's not forget that Imam Ali alayhi salam was a father of children from different ladies, because Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam, when she dies, Imam Ali ends up marrying a number of ladies after Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salam died. So he married, for example, of the ladies that gave him children, many of you would have heard of Umm al-Baneen, for example. Umm al-Baneen gave Imam Ali alayhi salam children. And you had as well of the other wives, Asma bint Umays, who gave Imam Ali alayhi salam a child, for example. And then you have another lady who gave Imam Ali a child who is mentioned in Nahj al-Balagha on a number of occasions. Normally, if I was to tell you I'm giving a lecture on fatherhood in Nahj al-Balagha, who do you think Imam Ali would talk to the most from his children? Normally, you'd think Imam al-Hasan, for example, or Imam al-Husayn. One of the sons of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, who is mentioned a number of times in relation to his relationship with Imam Ali as a father, is his son Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya is the son of Imam Ali, but from a lady called Khawla bin Ja'far. So Imam Ali marries Fatimah al-Zahra. She gives him Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Kulthum. Then you have, for example, al-Baneen, who of course gives him Abbas and Uthman and Abdullah and Ja'far. And then you have Khawla bin Ja'far. She gives him a son called Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. And all of you know about Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya because Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya was still alive while Imam al-Husayn was heading towards Kufa when Imam al-Husayn eventually was martyred in Karbala. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya was the younger brother of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam opens up as a father to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya and teaches us a number of lessons, either through advice or through how a father has to be in certain circumstances. What do I mean? You could have two types of fathers. You could have a father who's neglectful of what's happening in their children's life. You could have a father who's very authoritarian. You've seen that father who all he does the whole day is shout at the kids. Or he just gives them one stare and puts fear into them. There's never anything but either neglect, not interested in what the son or the daughter's doing, or very authoritarian. With Imam Ali alayhi salam, what you notice, whether he's talking to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in Nahj al-Balagha or he's talking to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and the rest of the children in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali has this particular manner. And that is that Imam believes, number one, in education being the key for a person to grow. Education either in advice or education in giving examples from one's own life to their children. At the end of the day, what better feeling is there than when your dad pulls you over and says, come and sit next to me, I want to advise you about something. Or when your dad tells you, I'm going to tell you something about me in my childhood. Some fathers are not like that at all. Some fathers, they're purely neglectful. They haven't got a clue what's going on in their children's life. Some are very authoritarian. You can never be right. You have no opinion. And I'm going to judge you the way my dad judged me. What was right in my dad's time is going to be right in your time. And what was right in my time is the only barometer. Imam Ali doesn't believe in neglect or authoritarian. He believes in education of children and he believes in trusting children. If you look in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali loves to give advice where he makes his children feel like they're his friends. Remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to say, first 7 years, let them be free. Second 7 years, discipline. Third 7 years, be their friend. If you look in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali is like that, alayhi salam, with his family members. When it comes to that period when they are in their teens, he becomes a friend to them. You see as well, he is ready to trust them with education. Sometimes you might find a father who looks at his kid, this kid can't take me giving that type of advice, too young. No, if you make the son feel mature, the son may actually look at you and say, you know what, dad, I could do this. And so you see, for example, in Nahj al-Balagha, towards the end of Nahj al-Balagha, there's this section where Imam Ali talks to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah and the sayings 329 of Nahj al-Balagha. Imam doesn't just talk to Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn. All his sons are treated with respect. All his daughters are treated with respect. Sometimes you may have a father, he sees one son is a doctor, the other hasn't done too well, and he's not interested in talking to that son. He only wants to tell people, you know, this is my son, this is my son. That neglect can bring hurt. That neglect can hurt the child. That neglect can disappoint the child. In saying 329 in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali, even though Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah is not an imam, Imam al-Hasan is an imam, true? Imam al-Husayn is an imam, true? Imam Ali talks to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, his son, even though he's not an imam, he still opens the door of wisdom to him. He says to him, oh my son, I fear that destitution overtakes you. So you should seek Allah's protection from it, because destitution is deficiency of religious belief or perplexity of intelligence, and it is conducive to hatred of obstinate people. So however one interprets this saying, you'll still see that Imam has a level of trust in the way he talks to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah that you'd think that he'd only afford to someone like Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Don't look at your children and say, you know what, that one's the mess, that one's the black sheep, but this one is the one I'm going to show the community. No, each of your children have different wonderful attributes. Each of your children, one might be excellent and become what? One might become someone who is in the world of media. Another might be a Mawlana. Another might be a doctor. Each of the children has a different ability, a different insight. But education and trust, these are ways in which Imam Ali alayhi salam wants them to rise. Further than that, Imam Ali also believes in this idea that there is a social responsibility with one's children to put them at the forefront of social life and not to hide them all the time. What do I mean? If a son feels that his dad is not socializing with him or that his dad is not taking him out to meet others, then that son may resort to others to become his guides in life. If you look in the Battle of Jamal, how many imams are in the Battle of Jamal? Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, they're all at Jamal. Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn could have easily taken the flag or the raya or the alam dar on the day of the Battle of Jamal, and they could have been the ones who went forward. But Imam Ali knew that this Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah is also my boy. Just because he is not a ma'soom imam does not mean I do not give him from the experiences that I have had in life. Is there a warrior like Imam Ali alayhi salam? No. But when Imam Ali says to his son, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, go out there. And listen, the battle of Jamal was no joke. That was a battle. The arrows were flying. The soldiers were some of the best soldiers you'd ever come across in Islamic history. And if you all at home go to sermon number 11 of Nahj al-Balagha, look at Imam Ali when Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya comes out on the battle of Jamal. And when he comes out, of course, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya is shaken by what's going on. Imam al-Hasan at Jamal, nothing could shake him. Imam al-Hasan went towards the opposition army. He destroyed those who were protecting the camel. But Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he looks at what's going on and it's really affecting him. Now, as a father, if I see my kid and there's the swimming pool, I could either say to my kid, okay, start from the very soft section, or I get the kid like an Iraqi dad does and throws you in the deep end, then you have to find your way. Sometimes you'll find some fathers throw you straight in the river and you've got to find your way. When you're looking at Imam Ali alayhi salam, he literally gets his son. And there isn't, look, our mums, in some cases, they want lovey-dovey, soft, don't be too... Sometimes, no, listen, come here, bring him, stand at the front. I want you to represent our family. You're never too young to represent. This is not punishment. This is discipline. Someone says, what's the difference between discipline and punishment? Discipline and punishment. Punishment, there is little long-term effect. Punishment, the long-term effect is very little. Discipline, however, you can have a constant reflection and the effect will be longer. Notice Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, Imam Ali, although he loves him, Imam Ali still turns around to him and says, you know what, young man? I want you to take this on. I want you to lead. And sermon number 11, Nahj al-Balagha, listen to what Imam Ali says. Mountains may move from their position, but you should not move from yours. Grit your teeth. Lend to Allah your head in fighting for Allah. Give yourself to Allah. Plant your feet firmly on the ground. Have your eye on the remotest foe and close your eyes to their numerical majority. And keep sure that all grace is but from Allah the glorified. Have you ever seen a father give a speech like that to his son? Can you imagine where your dad, some dads when their sons are playing football, they're like, you're rubbish, you played rubbish today. Some are like, listen, hang in there, be strong. Don't be worried about that 6'4" striker who's up front. Get in there, I want you to be there. Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Muhammad ibn Hanafi, he doesn't say, you know what, try your hardest, young man. Listen to the words, mountains may move, but you don't. Mountains may move, but you don't. Grit your teeth. And lend to Allah your head, plant your feet firmly on the ground. Have your eye on the remotest foe, but at the same time what? At the same time, do not let their numerical majority affect you. Because imagine, if now you and your pups are against 20 guys, your father will say to you, listen, we're getting finished today. Or your father will say to you, listen, don't look at their majority. Some of these guys will run away if one of them or two fall down. Imam Ali took Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya to the front of the social world. He didn't keep the boy with his mummy at home 24/7. He took him, come with me, learn from me. Because you know what? The best upbringing and fatherhood, according to Imam Ali, is not what you say, but your example and the way you act. If my father said to me, for example, Hussein, he says to me, then make sure you pray. But if you don't see dad praying, would you pray? If your father says to you, for example, he turns around and he says to you, Mehdi, make sure that you read Quran. But if you don't see your father reading Quran, you're going to be like, he doesn't even read. If your father says to you, pray Fajr, and you've never seen your dad wake up for Fajr, you're going to be like, why is he telling me about Fajr? He never wakes up. If your father tells you, don't lie. And then when someone calls, he's like, don't tell them I'm here. Then you'll be like, hold on a minute. You said, don't lie. But you're the one lying about this. Imam Ali alayhi salam believed with education and with trust and alongside the fact that you as a father must be an example to your children. Because you know, look, children, how do they learn? Let's be frank here. Either there are certain traits which are inherited. True? Sometimes you inherit traits from your parents. Most simple. Some people look like their father. Most simple inherited trait. Or through training and communication. Imam Ali's speech to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya in Sermon 11 of Nahj al-Balagha is one of the best speeches I've seen a father give to their son. Sometimes a father, when he opens up to his son, that father, when he opens up, believe you me, that son's heart breaks when their dad is emotive, is expressive, is trusting. And that's why when you look within Nahj al-Balagha, one of the greatest letters in Nahj al-Balagha. I said Imam Ali's letter to Malik al-Ashtar in Nahj al-Balagha is one of the greatest letters you'll ever see. Imam Ali's letter or his instructions to Imam al-Hasan is one of the best advices, one of the best pieces of wisdom, one of the best letters you'll ever see from a father to his son. If you guys ever become fathers, or there are fathers out there, I love this letter. Letter 31 of Nahj al-Balagha. Letter 31 of Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali, alayhi salam's letter of what? His commandment for Imam al-Hasan when they had encamped somewhere on the way back from where? From the Battle of Safin. It's an unusual place to give your son example about life. You know, normally you'd say, listen, let's go out for a restaurant, let's go for coffee, let's go and chill somewhere. Imam Ali, on the way back from the Battle of Safin, he turns around to Imam al-Hasan. Some say the place is called Hadarin. Others say it's Hadarin for those who were there gathered and they heard what Imam Ali was saying to Imam al-Hasan. Reality is that this particular letter is phenomenal in terms of a father to their son. In our Muslim communities, believe you me, there are fathers who have neglected their sons and daughters. There are fathers who take no interest in them. There are fathers who don't care about how well they're doing in life. There are fathers who may not be concerned about their emotions. As much as we have many good fathers, but there are some who are not realizing that in a world where people are anxious, some are depressed, some are finding life very hard, they want their father to be a bit more expressive than just the mum. Sometimes one line from a father can change one's life. Imam Ali, letter 31. From the father who's shortly going to die, who acknowledges the hardships of the times, who has turned away from life, who has submitted himself to the calamities of time, who realizes the evils of the worlds, who is living in the abodes of the dead and is due to depart from them any day. It's like Imam Ali is reading his musibah, true? To the son who yearns for what is not to be achieved, who is treading the path of those who have died, who is the victim of ailments, who is entangled in the worries of the days, who is a target of hardships, a slave of the world, a trader of its deception, a debtor of its wishes, a prisoner of mortality, an ally of worries, a neighbor of griefs, a victim of distresses, who has been overpowered by desires, and who is a successor of the dead. This opening paragraph, wallah, if it wasn't Imam Ali's name, then you put a poet or a famous author, people will say, how beautiful. Yet when you put Imam Ali, have you seen a father with a heart like Imam Ali alayhi salam? How many Muslim fathers talk to their sons or their daughters with the level of emotion of Imam Ali alayhi salam? How many are opening up to their sons and their daughters and recognizing that some of them, their hearts are broken, some of them are lonely, some of them are looking for someone to talk to them? Imam then says a line, wallah, it is one of the best lines I have ever heard. He says to him, I found you a part of myself. Rather, I found you my whole. وَوَجَدْتُكَ بَعْضِي بَلْ وَجَدْتُكَ كُلِّي. You're not just a part of me. You are me. When I look at you, you are my whole. Those of you who are watching who missed their fathers, how many of you were blessed with a father who opened up to you like that? Who said to you, وَوَجَدْتُكَ بَعْضِي بَلْ وَجَدْتُكَ كُلِّي. I found you as a part of myself. No. I found you as my whole. Listen to the beauty so much so that if anything befell you, it was though it befell me. And if death came to you, It was as though it came to me. Sometimes we think our fathers don't care. Wallah, our fathers, when they see we're sad, they get sad. When they see we're lonely, they get lonely. A good father says that you're not just part of me, you are me. You are my heart walking outside my body. Then later he tells his son, Imam al-Hassan, he says, enliven your heart and give life to your heart with preaching. Enlighten it with wisdom. Humiliate it or humble it by remembering death. You know, a car needs, let's say, petrol or gas, correct? Our hearts, what's their gas? Imam Ali tells Imam al-Hassan, enlighten your heart with wisdom, but humble it with death. Why enlighten it with wisdom? Because in reality, we are who we are depending on how much hikmah we have in the world. True? That's what people respect us with. Enlighten it with wisdom. And we said wisdom is the lost treasure of the believer. And we said get wisdom even if it's from a munafiq. But also do what? Humble your heart, my son, by remembering death. Whenever you think you're a bad boy, whenever you think you're the king, whenever you think you're a gangster, remember any second, Malik al-Maut comes and says, hey you, let's go. True? He says, enlighten your heart with wisdom, but humble your heart with what? Humble your heart with death. Then he says to him, give up discussing what you do not know and speaking about what does not concern you. This is a lovely line. My son, whatever you do, don't discuss things you don't know about. And don't speak about things which don't concern you. Sometimes our dads, when they say to us, listen, something that's not concerning you, don't talk about it. It's not your business. And we want to open our big mouths. And we want to interfere in everyone's affairs. And we want to know about what everyone's doing in their life. He says, give up discussing what you don't know. If there is an area in religion you don't know about. And of course, sometimes these instructions are to us. But he puts it through Imam al-Hassan for us to learn. How many times when your dad says to you, don't talk about things you don't know. And you're like, no, Baba, wallah, I read it in this book. And you're like, listen, I know the book better than you. I've studied this area better. Give up discussing what you don't know and speaking about what does not concern you. Then what does he say to him? Acquire insight into religious law. Not just learn fiqh. Not just learn why this is halal or this is haram. Try and understand the background. Understand the philosophy of what is halal and what's haram. Sometimes people are only concerned of knowing what's halal, what's haram. No, no. What is the meaning of Islamic law? Why does society have law? Why does Allah say something is makruh or something is mustahab or something is haram or something is mubah or something, for example, is wajib? Why is Allah giving us these laws? How important are these laws for us? He says, acquire insight into religious law. Sometimes I could translate that today. You know when your dad or your mom keeps saying to you, wallah, read a book. Wallah, pick up a book. Wallah, go and study more. And you're like, yeah, yeah, later. Wallah, later. Here, Imam is saying to Imam al-Hassan, but indirectly telling the community, acquire insight into religious law. Then that's why he tells him, my son Hassan, the heart of a youth is like an uncultivated piece of land. Whatever you throw on it, it accepts. Therefore, what did I do? I tried to mold your heart so that you would learn from my lessons and apply them to your life. A lesson for every father out there. The heart of a youth is like an uncultivated piece of land. Imagine in London, I see a piece of land. It says for sale with planning permission. Whoever buys it can build whatever they want on it. If it's a good developer, he's going to build a nice building. If it's a bad developer, what's he going to do? He's going to get into that land and make a mockery. The heart of a youth, he tells Imam al-Hassan, a lesson for every father. The heart of a youth is like an uncultivated piece of land. Whatever you throw on it, it accepts. Therefore, notice in today's society, wallah, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever we get, it goes straight to the heart sometimes. We don't know if it's true, if it's not, if someone's made it up, if it's not, if it's real, if it's fake, but it goes straight into our heart. Imam says, my son Hassan, the heart of a youth is like an uncultivated piece of land. Whatever you throw on it, it accepts. Therefore, the solution was that I tried to mold your heart. your land before it hardened by giving you examples of my life so that you could be saved from going through these experiences yourself. You know, sometimes your dad says to you, Habibi, Wallah, don't hang around with these people. And you're like, Baba, you're backward. Baba, Wallah, I know who to hang around with. Baba, Wallah, don't do this. Wallah, don't do that. And you're, that's your father recognizing that he was there one day. And that he's telling you, be careful because you're going to be affected. One of the solutions Imam Ali tells Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam is that the greatest success comes through holding on to the seerah and the lessons of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Know, O my child, that no one received messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Therefore, regard him as your forerunner and leader towards success. Anyone out there, you want your children to be successful, let them study as much as they can the seerah of Muhammad and Al Muhammad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. Make sure as a father, if you're not educated about the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, go and educate yourself, because in this day and age, our children are asking us questions which if we asked when we were younger, we would have got a clip round the ear. Now the children are asking questions about Ahlul Bayt, about religion, about Islam, about the seerah. Imam Ali says, my son, you want to be successful? Study the seerah of your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, I've met fathers and their sons, fathers and their daughters, who don't even know the date of the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Ask them, what year did Rasulullah died? One will say to you 9 after Hijrah, another will say to you 8 after Hijrah, another doesn't have the foggiest when he died. There are some, you ask them, tell us about how many years Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca, how many years was he in Medina? Tell us about the first pledge of Aqaba and the second pledge of Aqaba. Tell us about the Hudaybiyah peace treaty. Tell us about the opening of Mecca. Tell us about the first revelation. Many of us, if we are not acquainted with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're missing a major trick in how successful we'll be in life. Why? Everything we went through, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through and more. Then he says to him what? He says to him that true Islam, whenever you come across a needy person who can carry for you or provision to hand it back to you on the day of judgment when you will need it, then accept him as good opportunity and get him to carry it. You see anyone needy, my son, true Islam is not how much salah you do, how much som. Imam Ali, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, they used to love helping poor people in the streets. They used to love sitting with people who were poor. Imam Ali sees a Christian, he asks, how did we reach a stage where this Christian begs? Why? When Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he died, didn't that poor man said, where is the man who used to feed me every night? They used to love the idea that true Islam was a social Islam. Then he tells him about rizq. You know how we always want, God, give us more money. Please, God, I want some money. Please make me money. He says, no, my child, that livelihood rizq is of two kinds. A livelihood that runs after you and a livelihood that you run after. In life, rizq, rizqan. Rizqun tatlubu. There is a rizq which you will run after, and a rizq which runs after you. You're going to chase a certain rizq. There's a rizq, yes, you should chase, you should work hard for, but there's a rizq, it will come to you. You know our moms, when they say, if it's written for you, it will come. Yes, there's that type of rizq, but that doesn't negate that you, my son, there is a rizq that you should go after. Every imam worked and earned a lawful living. Imams did not say, because I am a scholar, I will not earn a living. There is nothing embarrassing about a Mawlana working somewhere and earning a living. If a Mawlana works, for example, as a cab driver, a Mawlana works in a supermarket, a Mawlana works in a television channel, a Mawlana works, it is no problem, because there's a rizq that runs after you. There's a rizq that you run after. Then he tells him, and this letter, mashallah, is unbelievable number of advices. He concludes it by saying very clearly to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he makes it clear, respect your kinsmen because they are your wings with which you fly, the origin towards which you return, and your hands with which you attack. Place your religion and your world at Allah's disposal and beg him to ordain the best for you in respect of the near and the far, this world and the next, and that is an end to the matter. This letter, Imam makes it clear to Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, my son, I love you. You are not just a part of me, you're everything to me. And because I've seen so much in life, because I've had so many experiences, I wanted to make sure that every experience that I ever faced in my life was an experience that I shared with you. Every trial I wanted to tell you about. The meaning of Islam, I wanted to explain to you. The meaning of life, I wanted to give you. The meaning of being a good person, I wanted to teach you. Inshallah, the fathers at home take from this lesson. Do not be a father who is neglectful or authoritarian in everything, but rather be a father who sets an example, a father who believes in education of one's child achieving success, and a father who instills a trust in their children where they believe that their children can achieve the greatest levels of success in following the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We'll continue tomorrow inshallah with more discussions from Nahj al-Balagha. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.